Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. I'm so glad that you're joining us. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Pastor Phil Corbett of the First Assembly of God Church located in Corrigan, Texas. Now, Pastor Phil has been pouring himself out into other pastors and entire churches all over America and across the world and helping them to prepare for the greatest harvest of souls that they've ever experienced in these last days. Now, if you missed any of part one of his interview, you need to go back and catch up. Because it was awesome. And we still have to cover a lot of information in today's episode, so I can't go back and cover the same topics all over again. What I want you to do is you go back and listen to part one and get all caught up. Amen? I guarantee you, it was awesome. And today, we start to cover information about his book and some of the miracles that he's experienced and been part of over the years. The examples he provides is only that, examples. There are many, many, many more that he could share. We just don't have the time. Amen. So let's jump back now into the interview now with Pastor Phil Corbett. Amen. Let's shift a little bit and talk about some book. When were you first inspired to write your first book?
Well, I got a friend, Johnny Knight, that he's a pastor himself, and he's traveled with me for weeks and weeks and months over the years. And he says, Phil, you need to write these stories down, you know, and he loves people like Wigglesworth and a lot of the stories that revivalists of old. And, you know, he got to experience these things with me. He says, Phil, you need to write these things down for future generations. And so I got thinking, nobody wants to read. You know, I don't even know if I can write. And I remember I was in the service once, and a guy that's a very prolific writer has written, ghostwritten for many of the major men of God in America, called me out, not knowing nothing about me, not knowing anything in my heart. Says, Phil, there's a book inside of you that you need to get out. The guy's never heard me preach, never heard one of my stories, you know. And at that time, I wasn't traveling very much, a whole lot. But he said, you need to write this book, you know. And when I began to write, it just began to flow. And so that's, you know, how it got started, you know. And to me, when you preach, the only ones that hear you that are the ones that hear you. But when you write a book, that book can get passed around, and you never know how many hands that one book's gonna fall into the hands of.
Yep, that's right. Amen. Amen. So once you publish your book, what was the response?
Well, to me, it was much larger than I ever expected, you know. And I remember my first initial shipment of books. It was several thousand books. You know, one day a big 18-wheeler backed up at my church, dropped off dozens of boxes of books. You know, I think my initial order was 3,000 books that was on my doorstep. And I'm thinking, if I don't sell these books, my grandkids are going to be asking me one day, Grandpa, what's all these boxes in the garage? You know, what's inside these boxes? And I thought, man, if I don't sell these books, it's going to be one of the biggest disappointments of my life.
Yeah.
But the exciting thing was people seem to understand my book because people understand, they understand discouragement. They understand hungering for more of God. And I share a lot of the principles that God gave me on how to find his presence, you know. How to find his presence, what happens when his presence comes, and most importantly, how to keep it when it comes, because you don't want the greatest season of your life to slip through your hands.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And what was the name of your first book?
My first book was Running With Your Second Wind.
Amen.
And I kind of got the inspiration for that because at the 25-year mark of my ministry here in Corrigan, I really got burned out. And I really set too high of expectations for myself, but I realize now God let me experience burnout because he was thrust me into a ministry where I would interact with a lot of pastors in a lot of different places that were just burned out. And I got through mine. You know, I had a wife that prayed for me and a church that still believed in me, and I got through it. And that's how I got the inspiration for Second Wind. And so I got through it. Now I'm able to help pastors that experience that. And I thank God it took me 25 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, a second wind is the thing a runner experiences that, you know, as a long distance runner. Mm-hmm. When he's ran as far as he can run and he just doesn't have any more to give. But, you know, a runner, you cannot quit. You might slow down. You might be crawling, you know, but you don't quit.
Amen.
But they tell us that something almost magical happens to the human body. They can't fully explain it. But if you'll just keep going forward, something inside you will kick up again, rise up again, and they call it a second wind.
Yep.
And that's when a runner can run farther distances at a smoother pace with less effort than he did in the beginning.
Yep.
What I've experienced, you know, in the last 10 years of ministry, it's been the most fruitful. You know, the first 25, I could have quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have found something else to do. But now ministry has not been easier in my life than it has been the last 10 years since I made up my mind I wouldn't quit and I got my second wind.
Amen. Amen. Now, I heard Don share this and I wanted to ask you about this. An angelic encounter that occurred, I think he said, in Austin, Texas at a hotel in reference to your book. Can you share that?
That's a story that it's been a few years since I didn't experience that book, that angel personally. Mm. It was a guy that had picked up a copy of my book, and the book had not even been out, not even a week yet.
Oh, wow.
He was a school teacher, and he was on a band trip, and the book was in his motel room, laying on his counter, on his nightstand, and the way I remember the story, had the little lady that comes in to cleans the room, and it come to find out she had to have been an angel. She was familiar with the book. She was familiar with my life in ministry, and she picked up the book and began to look at it, and had said something to the man that owned the book, says, "I know this guy."
Oh, wow.
You know, and anyway, after that encounter with her, he thought, well, maybe I should give her the book, and he would get him another one. And he went to the counter of the motel to ask for that particular girl that cleaned. There's no one by that description or name that even had ever worked there. So it was kind of
Amen.
I've had some amazing angelic experiences, but that was just one that happened to somebody else surrounding my book.
Mm, praise God. How many books have you written?
I've got four that have been published now.
Amen.
Evergreen Press out of Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got another book I'm writing now called Discouragement, Disappointment, and Defining Moments. So I'm trying to find time during this pandemic to get some writing time in.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think I'd have a lot of writing time, but man, ministry has been busier than ever.
Amen.
You know, just trying to keep the church going forward.
Yeah. Amen. That's why I said in their opening remarks was that, you know, with this pandemic, I mean, that's what happens in America is, you know, when bad times arrive, people come to church. They need that reassurance. They need to seek God's guidance. They need to be able to pray. And that's what's so weird is they insist on shutting the churches down. I mean,
man, I've heard so many reports of churches that have shut down, and talking to pastors that have said their folks have just disappeared. They don't know where they've gone. They don't know where they're at.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful for my church that me and my staff, we've done a great job of keeping people engaged and connected and going forward even during unprecedented times. But I think my book is ripe for America because we're having to learn how to do church again.
Yeah.
And or maybe we've gotten off track. Maybe God's just trying to get us back to where we should have been in the first place.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And are your books available on Amazon?
Yes, they can. Well, last I checked, they're on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And or they can just Google me, or they can send me an email. Mm-hmm. And any pastor out there, I would love to sow into the life of free copy of my book, Second Wind. Maybe you're listening today and you just feel like you've gone as far as you can go. Or maybe you have a pastor in your life, or maybe you have maybe your son or your daughter in ministry and they're just discouraged. Mm-hmm. If they'll just drop me an email, I'd be glad to, at no cost, to send them a book and sow a seed into their life.
Amen. Amen. I'll put information on that down in the show notes. Now, as I shared in the opening, you've been led to travel the nation sharing the gospel. How did the Lord lead you into this traveling aspect of your ministry?
Well, one thing I've never had to do, I've never had to knock on doors. I just let God open the doors. I'm a pastor, but when I minister, the pastor in me comes out. Sometimes I think people are tired of flashy evangelists and big names. They're just looking for somebody that's real. I don't think I'm a good preacher, but I just share from the heart, And one thing I don't mind doing is obeying the Holy Spirit. I don't mind getting out on a limb. And I find out when I get on a limb that that's where God meets me. He's just looking for somebody that will have faith.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And, so when I go in, I always encourage a pastor and always encourage the leadership team because, I understand small church. I'm not a big church pastor. I'm a small town pastor. But that's the majority of the churches in America. Very few guys get to pastor a mega church. And, lots of times when those guys get discouraged, they may go off to a conference or, take some kind of round the world vacation or something. But I mean, there's guys out there that are working, bivocational, jobs right. just to be able to pastor their church.
Amen.
And they don't have the money to go off and take a vacation when they get tired. So really my heart is to go in alongside these pastors and just, even at my own expense to go in, oftentimes I'll just go and bless them, just to be an encouragement to them.
Amen. Amen. When did you first start to take your ministry to other nations?
Well, it just, during our revival that we had a pastor come from Ireland. And he knew that what we were experiencing in our church, because he experienced a healing in his body and verified by the doctors that God gave his wife a brand new heart. Mm. And he went back home and he invited me and the evangelist to come hold a series of meetings all across the nation of Ireland. And the evangelist, he did the most of the ministry that those 2 weeks, but I got to preach one night. And we saw a lady come in and she had an arm that had been broken and twisted. Because she was very poor, she did not have adequate medical help. And when her arm healed, it healed twisted and kind of backwards.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I remember when the Holy Spirit was moving, she stepped up for prayer and just put her arm in front of my face. I had to do something about it.
Yeah.
And it was about the worst twisted arm I've ever seen in my life. And I didn't know, man, all I did was have faith. I didn't know what to do. I just had faith and I closed my eyes because I didn't know what was about to happen. And I reached out and I touched her arm. And when I touched my arm, I felt it begin to jerk and shake and twist. And all of a sudden, when I opened my eyes, that, it's nothing I did except reach out and touch her.
Amen.
And that arm had unfroze from its frozen position that had grown twisted, and God gave her complete mobility back in her arm.
Amen.
And she could, they said she had not combed her hair or brushed her hair in years because of the position of her hand. And because it was frozen in place.
Amen.
And when pastors there saw that miracle, it just opened up services all across the nation.
Amen. Amen. I've heard a story. I've heard this story, and I want you to share it with us. It involves traveling to minister in Stockholm, Sweden.
Yes. One of the most amazing things in my life. It's not a healing testimony. It's just the presence. I was in up in Rochelle, Illinois, at a conference that Tom and I go to every year. And small conference, but people come there from all over the world. And this particular day, I just got through speaking. I was on one of the panel of speakers, and there was a man that met me in the foyer as we were about to get lunch. And, you know, everybody was kind of shuffling around trying to get their meal and get situated because we were on a tight schedule. And he just introduced himself and said, "You'll be preaching in my country." Mm. And I said, "Well, where's your country?" He says, "Well, I'm from Stockholm, Sweden." And that's about all we said. You know, I thought, well, I'll meet up with him later on in the conference. But I never saw him again. But I did find him on the internet, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And as I began to interact with him, we got services set up about a year later. And we went there, my wife and I, and he and another pastor picked us up at the airport. We went, had supper, got settled in to our room for the evening and ended the evening in a prayer meeting. And after the prayer meeting, I said, "Brother, how did you hear about, all the way from Stockholm, how did you hear about this conference outside Chicago?" He says, "I've never heard about that conference in Chicago." Mm. He says, "As a matter of fact, I've never been to America." Wow. You know, and all I know, I mean, I would never go to a foreign country without absolutely knowing somebody. Mm. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how I met this guy in a place that he, in a nation that he's never been.
Amen.
But God.
Yeah.
Amen. And I just know that God had to put him there for me to, you know, to have the, you know, the connection.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nothing cheap or nothing easy traveling in a foreign country.
That's right.
And you need to know somebody.
Amen.
You know, but he set up services across Stockholm for us and had very, very good week of ministry. But it's just one of those supernatural interventions that God showed up. How he did it, I don't know. I just know that I met a man that I never met before. I ended up in his house, you know, and we were just complete, amen, total strangers.
Amen. When I heard that story, I was like, I have to ask him about this one.
Anyway. You hear about people being transported, and, yeah, and people think you're nuts sometimes, but that's exactly what
is true.
What happened to Philip, you know, as he... All of a sudden, he was on board with the eunuch on his chariot. And when the job was done, he was back to where we came from, you know?
That's right.
But God does stuff, you know?
That's right. Well, I know COVID has shut down a lot of your travel plans. We talked about that before we started the recording. But what other nations have you conducted missionary trips in prior to the shutdown?
Well, I've traveled extensively in Ireland and Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I've had other invitations, but I've just, you know, I'm a small church pastor, and because I have obligations at home, I can't travel as much as I would like to, but I've been through Canada. I've been in Mexico and all across the, probably everywhere east of the Rocky Mountains.
Amen. 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 Pastor, what do you see God doing in America right now or coming up very soon?
Well, we're going to have to get serious about serving God. And someone told me when my book Second Wind came out, because I believe that a revival like we've never even imagined is coming to America and the world. And someone told me, says, I just don't believe what your book says about a revival, because the Bible's clear before that great day of the Lord, there's going to be a falling away. And the way I see it, there can be a great revival and a falling away all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because I realize not everybody is serious about God. And I don't believe the good old days of America are coming back. You know, I think society has changed. People have changed. And we're farther in the last days than we've ever been. And that's kind of a silly statement, but you know, I just know that God's prepared the church, And sometimes I just have to turn off all the bad news and the negativity and to see what the world says and what the naysayers are saying. And I just, if God's word's not true, what else is there to turn to? Either God's word is true or it's a lie.
Yep.
My feeling is if he's coming back for a glorious church, I ask myself every time I go to my church, every time I travel and set foot in another church, I ask myself, where is the glory of God? You cannot be a glorious church without the glory of God.
Yeah, amen.
And so where so many churches right now just almost cease to exist, that's not the church that the Lord's coming back for. Either he made a big mistake, or he outright lied to us, or he's about to do it.
Amen.
The one thing I found about my life, God lets all my best laid plans be crushed so that when he does something, it's obvious it's him and not me. Mm-hmm. We've been so good at gimmicks, and we've been so good at spectacular things at church that showcase the best of talent and the best of ministry from man's perspective. And we've been just too content to let our flesh shine. But it's time that we let God arise and be God.
Amen.
And I think the Lord is letting everything crumble that needs to crumble.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I believe we're coming to the point in America, and I don't like to talk about persecution, and I don't like to talk about martyrs and all that, but those places around the world where that stuff happens is where they're having revival. People get serious about their relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. And all these things, I believe God is allowing them just to get people's attention back on him. When all else fails, trust God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't know that we need to go back to church like it has been. Mm-hmm. Maybe God's trying to get us back to where we should have been all along.
Amen. 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 Pastor, all this has been absolutely fascinating. I could spend hours talking with you about what the Lord's done and what he's about to do. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question, receive more information about your church or ministry, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can just Google Second Wind Ministries or my name, Philip Corbett, Corgan, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or maybe there somewhere you can post my email address. And I love to talk this stuff.
Amen. Amen. And what's your email address?
It's pastor@Corrigan, for CORRIGANFIRST.org.
Give it to me, Corrigan. What was the last part again?
FIRST.
Okay.
.org.
.org. Okay. I got that. And I'll put that down in the show notes below as well. Folks, you just heard firsthand how the Lord leads, guides, and directs those who are seeking him and who are spiritually sensitive to actually being led by the Holy Spirit. These are not just set aside for the few, he's Pastor Phil Corey. He's just special. That's why these types of things can happen to you if you'll seek the Lord with all your heart, putting his word first place in your life. Amen. I want to encourage you to reach out to Pastor Philip Corbett and get in touch with him. Get in touch, and if in the area, visit his church. I mean, if you're outside of the area, make plans, on taking a trip down to Corrigan, Texas, especially once this lockdown's over. I absolutely love Texas. I'd move back there in less than a heartbeat. I mean, Pastor, I was led here, and I've told this story countless times on this podcast, that I've been led here to the Baltimore area against my will. Okay. I had my own Jonah moment, 100% wow. True. I refused to. When the Lord said, you needed to move to Baltimore, I said, no, I am not leaving Texas. No, I refuse to go. And let's just say all hell was turned loose because I was in disobedience. I mean, it brought me to the point where I said, okay, I give up. I'll go. And once I did, the blessing was back. Praise God. And I'm asked all the time by my friends back in Texas. It's like, when are you coming back to Texas? My response is always the same. When God says so.
I learned my lesson. I go back to minister. I go back to visit, but I'm not permitted to move back there. Yeah. Not yet. I believe one day that's going to happen. Amen. But right now, I sit right here. Oh, praise God. Pastor, I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us today. I got a lot out of our interview. I know our listeners did as well. Thank you for coming on the program today.
It's been my pleasure.
Amen. And now, one more time, you said if they email you a request for that book, that you were going to send it to them free of charge?
Yes, I'll send it to pastors free of charge. And I can send anybody a free Kindle edition. So,
amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Pastor Phil Corbett and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.